Let me ask you a question. Have you ever perhaps literally bumped into a friend, or perhaps tripped a friend with your foot, or hit a friend with a football? Now, it's not confession time, but if you've ever done that, sometimes if you do that to a friend, you pretend that it what? Was just an accident. But sometimes your friend wises up and says something like, "You did that on purpose." Has that ever happened to you? Now, let me be very forward with this. I would not recommend that you bump into your friend on purpose, or that you trip a friend on purpose, or that you hit a friend on purpose. But you know, there's some things in our life that I would recommend that you do on purpose. That you do on purpose. Or you might say that you do intentionally. Do you know what that is today? And that's what we're going to be talking about. We need to, on purpose, find a way to share the gospel with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, with our acquaintances. In other words, we need to be intentional in trying to reach the lost with the gospel. You know, most of us just kind of go through life. Really, we do. We wake up in the morning. We don't really consider all of the lost people that are around many times. We don't consider all the people whose paths we're going to cross that day. And if given the opportunity, we might put a good word in for the Lord. We might even invite them to church. And perhaps we might even share the gospel. But if it happens, it just kind of happens by God orchestrating it. Rather than me making up in my mind, I know someone lost, and I'm going to do whatever I can to share the gospel with them. Do you see the difference? Our witnessing should be intentional. Now, we should be ready and willing and always able to share the gospel with whoever God brings our way. But you know, in most of our lives, we can name probably a gazillion people that we know that either lost or not serving the Lord. But are you intentionally trying to share the gospel with them? You know, in Christian circles, many times the part of our body that's not used many times is our brain. You know, I'm just encouraging you through this message to be intentional with people that you know that are lost and come up with ways to share the gospel. Now, our church is intentional in many of our ministries in an effort to try to reach the lost. Our Christmas parade. You know, we do the Christmas parade. We'll do it as long as God wants us to do it. If He tells us to stop, we'll stop. But we've done it the last at least 3, maybe 4 years we've done it. It's not about giving them a bag of candy. It's about the gospel. So we're intentional thinking maybe this gospel tract will get into someone's hand who needs to know Jesus as Savior. Our vacation Bible school. Now, we have games, we have songs, we have food, we have crafts, but guess what? The gospel is clearly presented. You see, we're very intentional about that. As a church, I know in particular, as far as I remember, even back to other churches I pastored, I almost always took the salvation night. You know, the night that this VBS emphasizes salvation, and I do the best I can to try to make it as clear as I can to those kids that you need to trust Jesus. But we're intentional about that. Our fall festival and our Easter egg hunt is much more than hay rides and hunting Easter eggs. Our goal, our intentional goal, is to try to reach the lost. Our family fun nights, even tonight. Our football family fun night, a subject that is very near and dear to my heart, football. You know, it's been a great weekend so far. Every team that I rooted for, as far as high school and then WVU, and the boys are on the Watchmen. They're in the midst of softball season, and they won their game, Ryan and Jason. Every team that I supported thus far has won, except my high school. Midland Trail. So it kind of let me down. But football family fun night. You know, we're going to have fun. We're going to have some nachos and cheese. We're going to have some catching up on one another a little bit. We're probably going to roast some marshmallows outside. There's going to be games for the teenagers down. AJ's going to have that. So there's going to be but guess what? Our goal is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with things that we do to build fellowship either, but our ultimate goal as a church should be to reach the lost, right? Even the sermons. If you're here, the gospel and the invitation are in the messages that I preach. Sometimes it's a pure salvation message. Sometimes it's near the end. I'll say, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, you need to trust Him as Savior. You need to nail that down because Jesus died for your sins. And if you want to nail that down and be saved today, I'll be somewhere down front. You come down and see me. Now, that's not just by chance. That's on purpose because our goal as a church is to reach the lost. But you know what? I think a lot of times on the individual level, we lose that. You know, I mean, we can name Cousin Fred. We got an Aunt Sally. You know, we got a neighbor Bob. We have a guy that we see at Food Line all the time. His name is Puddentane. And when we go there, we see them. We see that guy. And we go to family reunions. We see the family. And every time I drive out of my driveway, I see my neighbor. But you know what? Unless we become more intentional and have a purpose in trying to share the gospel with them, do you know what? There's a good chance that they'll not hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Can I tell you that God placed you where you are for a reason? Where you live, where you work, where you shop, where you bank, the family that you're part of, he orchestrated all of that. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know, we just don't need to kind of float through life and say, well, if I have an opportunity. I mean, really, we need to, I'm convinced that all of us need to purpose in our heart. Now, how can I reach that loved one with the gospel? You know, how can I plan this? How can I try? Now, God is in charge of all this, and it's all bathed in prayer. But God, how can I do that? Well, maybe I'll go out and have a cup of coffee with them at Burger King. Maybe I'll bake some cookies and take it over to their house, and maybe that'll open the opportunity door. Maybe I'll send them a nice card, thinking of you. And I'll share something about my relationship with Jesus with them in the card or text or email or Facebook private message. You know, all of these things are opportunities, right? You might even feel led on purpose to pick up the phone and talk to somebody. You know, more and more we're getting away from the phone. We're getting away from all the personal contact. But maybe you say, I'm gonna pick up the phone and talk to that person who is lost. I'm going to plan it such that I see that person down there at Food Line and I'm going to give them a gospel tract. And I'm going to give them a flyer for a football family fun night tonight. And I'm going to, on purpose, try to reach them. Again, God placed you where you are in the neighborhood, in the family, in the job that you're in. And God doesn't expect us just to sit back and kind of float through life. We're going to look at a guy today who was very intentional in trying to reach his friends with the story of Jesus. The guy we're going to look at today is Matthew. So if you'd turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. Now, Matthew was an apostle, okay? An apostle. But I really believe, I just kind of feel that Matthew, I mean, it's not spelled out, but it seems like in his approach as he wrote the gospel under the direction of the Holy Spirit, it seems to me that Matthew was a very humble person. You know, he's one of the apostles that not one single word that he spoke is recorded in Scripture. Now, his story of meeting Jesus is, and that's what we're going to look at today, but it seems to me that he kind of downplays a few facts in this story because of his humility. But Luke and Mark also record this, and we can pick up some different facts from that. But you're going to see in this story that this Matthew, this apostle of Jesus Christ, once he met Jesus, he was intentional to try to reach his friends and bring them to Jesus. Now, the title of the message is Intentional Evangelism. Intentional Evangelism. Now, you say, what's evangelism? It's sharing the gospel, okay? So being intentional about sharing the gospel. Intentional evangelism. If you would, follow along in your Bibles. If not, if you don't have your Bible, it will be on the monitor. But I do encourage you to bring your Bible to church. It says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him," you notice those words in red, "Follow me." And he, that's Matthew, arose and followed him, or Jesus. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans. Now, what's a publican? A tax collector. We'll talk more about that later, but that's tax collectors. And see, that's exactly what Matthew was, because he was sitting at the receipt of custom, or the receipt of taxes. He was collecting taxes, okay? It says, "Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples," isn't this typical Pharisee behavior? "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole, need not a physician, but they that are sick." You see, these publicans and sinners were sin sick. Verse 13, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Point number one, the message today, intentional evangelism. Point number one, Jesus found Matthew. Matthew found Jesus. You see, it kind of works both ways. In verse 9 it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man." Do you think it was kind of like Jesus walking along and he kind of looks over and says, behold, there's a man. You see, Jesus was very much aware of God the Father's plan for him. Y'all agree with that? So he was exactly where he was supposed to be, and he had a divine appointment with Matthew that day. So he is walking by, but he knew exactly what he was going to do. He's God, right? And he saw Matthew. He was actually probably in a little tax booth. Now, everybody loves paying taxes, right? Okay, yeah. He was in a tax booth. And can I tell you that publicans and tax collectors were hated by the Jews? I mean, did you hear me? Hated by the Jews. They were put in the same category as thieves and murderers. You say, why would that be? Well, you see, tax collectors that were Jewish worked for the Roman government. So the Romans were over the Jews, okay? So they basically were viewed as traitors to their people. And they worked for the Roman government. And this was in Capernaum, right there on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was the most prominent city on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he collected taxes, perhaps from goods that came in, perhaps from goods that went out, perhaps from the households, okay? And these Jews looked at him, and probably when they looked at him, they just kind of looked at him and they saw a publican and they probably just spit because they hated him so much. They were despised, viewed as traitor. And if that wasn't enough, these publicans also many times were very crooked and corrupt. And say, the Roman government says, you understand, is collect a dollar. And they would go and collect $2. Keep $1 and give $1 to the Romans. So they were corrupt. They were hated. Can you think of another head tax collector? Climbed up in a tree? Zacchaeus, right? But in this story, we got Matthew. Jesus found Matthew. Matthew found Jesus. It says, as Jesus passed from thence. Again, he was in Capernaum. It was no accident that Jesus passed by. He saw this man named Matthew. And it's interesting that Matthew means the gift of God. The gift of God. Now, in Luke's gospel and in Mark's gospel, he's called Levi, which means joined. But Matthew chooses the word Matthew, or the name Matthew, the gift of God. So he may, or maybe the Lord has not recorded, may have changed the name and said, as a reminder of who I was and who I now am following Jesus, my name is Matthew, the gift of God. Now, if we look at this story, Jesus found Matthew, but Matthew found Jesus. Sitting at the receipt of custom. You see, Matthew, Levi, was a publican, tax collector. He was hated. He was sitting in a booth. He was collecting taxes for the Jews. But Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Now, I believe that at this point, Matthew trusted that Jesus was the Messiah. You see, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. He had not paid the penalty for sin. He had not been placed in a tomb, killed, placed in a tomb, and then resurrected. But these Jews had the opportunity to trust him as Messiah. And if they did that, they finally connected all the other dots too. So this was equivalent to having a relationship with God. And it says, notice, and he arose and followed him. There was no hesitation. Luke adds this statement. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. So I imagine that Matthew was probably pretty rich, or at least well-to-do. How's that? But it says, when Jesus said, follow me, he left it all behind and followed Jesus. Sounds like he met Jesus for real. How many of y'all would say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do? And the Lord said, I want you to give up everything you got and follow Jesus and go to the mission field. How many of y'all do that? Sounds like he got the real stuff, don't you think? Matthew accepted Jesus as the Messiah. You see, Jesus found Matthew. Matthew found Jesus as the Messiah. Recently, I was in Doddridge County, and I typically sit there at the kitchen table when I'm working on something, and the door was open for something, it seems like, or maybe I opened it, but I started hearing, it seemed like I was talking to Jason on the phone, and all of a sudden I heard, meow, 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 and I'm thinking, we don't have a cat. Joe doesn't have a cat. And it's just constant and really loud. And finally, I opened the door, and there was this yellow cat. You could tell it was somewhat young. It was still, I don't know, where a kitten starts to become a cat, not a kitten anymore, but it was small. And it was right near our van, and then it came up to the door. And then I went out, and it kind of shied a little bit, but I thought, this is not a real wild stray cat. It's got some domestic in it. So Amy said, well, they come home, her and Joe. Said, well, let me put it on Facebook, is what you put it on, right? See, I'm not on Facebook, so I got to ask her some of these technical terms every once in a while. She posted it on Facebook, if anybody's lost a yellow cat. Well, it was a neighbor, a quarter mile away, maybe. This cat had been missing. It was a neighbor's daughter who's, you know, in high school. It was the daughter's cat, the girl in high school, and it had been missing for about a month. And so they came down and got the cat. Now, you say, did the cat find me or did I find the cat? Well, kind of both. In this case, Jesus found Matthew, and Matthew found Jesus as Messiah. So, you know, some people say, well, I found Jesus as Savior. Well, Jesus had a part in that too, but both are important. The question is, have you found Jesus as Savior? We know the rest of the story now, right? We know that he went to the cross. He died on the cross, not for his own sin. If he'd have sinned one little sin, so to speak, one little sin as we classify him, he wouldn't have died for our sins because he'd been dying for his sin. But since he was sinless, when he paid the sin debt, shed his blood, he was paying for my sins and your sins. And then he was placed in a borrowed tomb, and after 3 days, resurrected back to life and conquered death. And he says unto everybody here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today is the day. You know, I asked the question on purpose. I asked this question, are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? If you can't say I'm 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, you need to do some business with God. You need to talk to God about it. I don't care how long you thought you'd been saved. I don't care how many different churches you've been in. I don't care how many works you've done. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, 100% sure, the salvation that the Bible talks about and that God offers is a no-so salvation. So if you don't know so, there's a problem there somewhere. So have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Point number two, as I look at this story, intentional evangelism. Number two, Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Who was going to reach these publicans and sinners? But one of them who had been changed by Jesus. Who was going to reach him? Remember, the people looked at him. I understand that they were almost treated like lepers. You know, as far as socially, I'm not having them at my house. I'm not going to get near it. I'm not going to touch them. I'm not even going to look their direction. We hate them so much. And they're like robbers and they're like murderers. So who's going to reach these publicans, these other tax collectors and sinners, if it's not Matthew? Now, you see, Matthew had an in, so to speak, an in with the other publicans. They had a fellow occupation. They had a common position in society. They may have even had a publican convention, as far as I know. I don't know. And when they did, you see, Matthew got to know these other tax collectors. You know, and sometimes if you're ostracized, but you're ostracized together, you're placed outside on the fringe of society, I imagine there was kind of a bond there, don't y'all? It's kind of like, well, we're all scum, so let's all get together and have lunch every once in a while, right? No one wanted to eat with them, but I believe Matthew was friends with them. Matthew was friends with them. And I believe, and we'll develop this a little bit more in the next point, but I believe that when Matthew met Jesus, his heart automatically started thinking. His mind started clicking. You know what? I got a lot of friends who are tax collectors. And I know how miserable they are. And I know how misguided they are. And that they're sinners because I am one that just found Jesus. But guess what? They need to hear about this Messiah. And I think his heart hurt for all of the publicans that he knew, all of the sinners that he knew. Let me ask you. Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Let me ask you as a Christian, do you have a burden on your heart to reach your friends and family members and neighbors and acquaintances? Do you have a burden for their soul? Do you have that desire in your heart to say, you know what, I really want them to come to Jesus? You know, Paul had such a burden for the lost. You know what? I'm going to paraphrase what he said. If it was possible, I would be accursed by God if it would mean you guys get saved. Boy, that's a burden. As a child of God, someone says, you know what? I know that I'm saved. And many of you, I've been in church my whole life. And God has blessed me so much. I mean, look at my family. Look at everything. Do you have a burden for those that don't know Jesus? You know, I believe our burden, every single one of us, I believe, could say, I need a bigger burden for the lost. Would y'all agree with that? Give me a little nod. I know you're alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Everybody needs a more of a burden for the lost. Again, God placed you where you are for a reason, for a purpose. But you're not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything until I have a burden. You know, one thing that helps me when I look at people, I try to look at people the way Jesus does. You know, you look at people and man, there's some, I mean, for far as looks, there's some people that really look like sinners. Do you know what I mean? I'm not throwing stones at them. I'm just saying, you can look at them and say, man, there's a rough looking individual. But you know what? That person is a human being created in the image of God, and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we have that burden? You know, I find it interesting that many times we as Christians have a burden and desire for something, but it's not to lead people to Jesus. It's not to see lost souls saved. It's a burden to shoot the biggest buck they can. Now remember, I hunt some, so I'm not throwing stones at hunters, but I'm saying if your main burden and desire in life is to get the biggest buck, you need to think about that a little bit. Or to catch the whopper of a fish, the biggest fish that's ever been caught in this river. If that's your main burden and desire, it's misguided as a child of God. Now understand, I said if that's your main desire, there's nothing wrong with wanting to catch a big fish. If your greatest burden and desire is to have a newer, nicer car, your burden and desire is misplaced. If your burden and desire is to score the most points, your burden and your desire are misplaced. If your biggest burden and desire is to have the nicest house, your burden and desire is misplaced. If your burden and desire is to ace the class, that's your biggest burden and desire. Your burden and desire is misplaced. If your burden and desire is to have the lowest golf score, your burden and desire is misplaced. If your burden and desire primarily in life is to make more money, your desire and your burden is misplaced. You see, Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Do you have a burden and concern to see your friends, family members, neighbors, and acquaintances come to Jesus? Do you realize that if your friend or neighbor or family member or acquaintance do not hear the gospel and do not be saved, they will spend forever in hell? You say, preacher, you're being mean. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. It's a reality. So we as Christians, we need to get fired up a little bit. We need to be fired up and say, you know what? I have that burden and desire. I want to reach them. Intentional evangelism. Number one, Jesus found Matthew. Matthew found Jesus. 2, Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Number 3, Matthew figured out a plan. Matthew figured out a plan to throw a great feast to feed his friends. Now, Matthew kind of downplays the idea. It almost, when you read it, it almost sounds like, well, they had this meal with Jesus and then the other guys just started showing up. But if you look at, let's see which gospel it is. I saw it in particular. I believe it's Luke. That he calls it a great feast. That's what it says. A great feast. So Matthew, get the picture of this. Matthew throws a great big feast. It's not just for him and Jesus. It's for all of these publicans that he's friends with. You see, he's already won the right to be heard because he's their friend. And the same with you guys, who you know and your family members with and your friends. You've already earned at least a crack door a little bit because you already are friends with them. If a total stranger comes up and says, well, let me share the gospel, they might say, no. But you already are their friend, right, or acquaintance. There's a little bit of opportunity, a little bit of a crack door to say, you know what? I can share the gospel. So, picture this. Matthew, rotten old rascal that he was, he gets saved. He finds Jesus. He says, you know what? I think his heart started burden for the lost. He said, I'm going to throw a great big feast. I'm going to invite all of my fellow tax collectors and sinners to come. Guess what? They got to hear Jesus in person. Have you ever thought about having a lost family member or a lost family over to your house to have dinner as an opportunity to talk with them and build bridges and to share the gospel? You see, Matthew was thinking. He was burdened, but he was thinking. He had a plan. He figured out a plan. Do you have a plan to reach the lost ones that you know? Definitely need to pray for them, but there's lots of ways to try to reach them. You know, I sometimes call thinking the lost art of thinking. We don't have time to think anymore. We're too busy. We're too bombarded with all. Sometimes we just need to sit down and think. I'd call it ponder. Maybe you need to sit down between you and God and say, God, how do you want me to reach Fred, my neighbor? How do you want me to reach him? And come up with a plan. Matthew figured out a plan. And they got to hear Jesus teach. They had the opportunity to see him as the Messiah. Number 4, last point. Matthew fostered the healing of the sin sick. You see, the Pharisees get all mad. And, you know, Jesus is sitting here eating with publicans and sinners. All horrified. This is terrible. And then Jesus says, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, these people are sin sick, and they needed to hear Jesus. And he says, for I am come to call the righteous, not to come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So you see, Matthew fostered the healing of the sin sick. How did he do that? Well, he brought them to a planned event, to a great feast, and they heard Jesus teach. You know, Mark's gospel records it this way. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. Now listen. For there were many. And notice what it says. And they followed him. Who? Jesus! You see, Matthew was intentional in his evangelism. He says, I found Jesus. I have a burden to have all my friends find Jesus. I'm going to come up with a plan. He threw a great big feast and invited all these folks. And it says, and there were many, and they followed who? Jesus! Let me ask you, are you doing something as an individual to foster the healing of the sin sick? In other words, are you doing something to reach the lost for Jesus? Man, Christian, we got to get out of neutral. Really, we do. We got to get out of neutral. We're neutral in our worship sometimes. We're neutral in our Bible study. We're neutral in our tithing. We're neutral in sharing the gospel. We're neutral in our prayer. It's just like we're just kind of going with the flow. Can I tell you? The Lord's coming back. And even if it is further than I think it will be, I think it's just right there. I think the Lord is coming back. I really think it could just be a matter of days. Maybe hours, maybe minutes. We got to get out of neutral. And we got to say, you know, I have a burden for the lost. What am I going to do to try to reach them with the gospel? I guarantee you that most of us, if we somehow found out, and we'll not know this, but if we somehow found out that Jesus was coming today at 2 o'clock, man, forget those lunch plans. You know what we'd be doing? We'd probably be on our knees saying, God, forgive me. God, help me to be faithful. God, forgive me for not doing the things you wanted me to do. And God, I pray for that neighbor, that friend, that relative, that acquaintance. We'd probably pick up the phone. Your time's short, wouldn't we? We'd be thinking about them because we don't want to see them spend eternity in a godless hell. So we'd be, why not do it now? Because it could happen. And we won't know 2 hours in advance. Let's do it now. The message today, intentional evangelism. Jesus found Matthew. Matthew found Jesus. First question, have you found Jesus as your Savior? Have you been saved? If not, no better place than right here. No better time than right now. Do not put it off. If you die today without Jesus, there's no hope. Number two, Matthew felt a burden to reach his friends for Jesus. Do you have a burden to see your friends, family members, neighbors, and acquaintances come to Jesus as Savior? You say, preacher, I don't really have that burden. I should. If not, ask God to break your heart for the lost, to give you a burden for those without Jesus. Third point we looked at, Matthew figured out a plan to throw a great feast to feed his friends. Have you figured out a plan to reach your friends for Jesus? If not, there's no time like the present. With God's help, come up with a plan. Last point, Matthew fostered the healing of the sin sick. Are you doing something as an individual to foster the healing of the sin sick? Or put another way, are you doing something to reach the lost for Jesus? If not, why not? Do you realize that the reason he left us here as Christians? He could have taken us home when I was 11 years old and I trusted Jesus at Hopewell Baptist Church. He could have taken me home right then if he wanted to. Why did he leave us here? He left us here to share the gospel with the lost. Intentional evangelism. You see, there's certain things that we shouldn't do on purpose, like kick your neighbor, trip your neighbor, flick your neighbor. But there's some things we should do on purpose. We should do it intentionally. If you would stand to your feet. Amy's going to come to the piano and she's going to start to play. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're not sure, 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, would you come down the aisle and say, preacher, I want to talk to you. You can settle that today. Don't worry about what other people think. I'm more concerned about what God thinks. But Christian, this message has been pinpointed right at us Christians. You found Jesus as your Savior. Do you have that burden and concern to see the lost people around you saved? And if you are, you say, I'm burdened. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? I'm going to ask you, if God is speaking to your heart today, as she plays, nobody looking around, I'm going to ask you, if you're going to purpose in your heart right now to do your best, God helping you, bathed in all kind of prayer, that you're going to come up with a plan to try to reach that someone in your life that needs Jesus. I want you to think, one or two people God put on your heart right now, how are you going to reach them? And you say, preacher, God helping me, I'm going to come up with a plan. Whether it's to talk to them at a sporting event, whether it's to have coffee with them, whether it's to have them over to my house, take them some cookies, whatever. But I'm going to intentionally, either sending them a card or call, I'm going to intentionally, on purpose, come up with a plan to share the gospel. If God is speaking to your heart about that right now, nobody looking around, would you come to the altar and just spend some time in prayer? Is God speaking? That's all I'm asking. Is God speaking? Saying, you know what? You need to be more intentional. You need to have more burden. If you're going to come up with a plan, God helping you, to reach someone you know that's lost, would you come to the altar?